Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. I don't know about your day, but this has been a tiring day here in Ohio. Everyone else is getting warm weather, and for some reason it appears cold here, and everyone is confused. It gets warm, and then it gets cold, and it gets warm, and it gets cold, and I don't think we know how to act anymore. But anyhow, we're so thankful for today. We thank you for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m., and we do thank you for tuning in. For those of you who are calling for a first time, we are an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means that you have an opportunity of calling in and participating, interacting with the speaker of the hour. Amen. The call-in number is 347-237-404-4054. That's 347-4054. I was sending out text today, and for some reason it appears I was sending out the wrong number. So that just shows where how my day has been, and I hope yours has been better. We have Pastor Reginald C.A. Miles with us this evening from Hackensack, New Jersey. Amen. And we're looking forward to what God is going to impart on us through him. Amen. Before we do that, we're going to have a word of prayer. There are those who have asked for prayer. That's Pastor Robinson. Pastor Robinson has asked for prayer. The James family, Hobbs family, James Hobbs family, we're asking for prayer for them. We're also asking for prayer for the Holloway family, Corey, Katrina. We're also Wilborn, the Wilborn family. We're looking for prayer for them. Bishop, prayer for Bishop Palmer and his family. He's lost his dear sister, and we are in prayer for his family. As the funeral goes forth, we are in prayer for him. Keep him lifted up as well as his family. Amen. There are other members that we have on here, and we are just asking that you would just be in prayer for them. Amen. We are a praying people. Amen. God has poured the word in us, and we are to share it with others. Amen. So we do thank you for that. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Father, we thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would bless us collectively. We also, Heavenly Father, pray that you would just give us a mind, Heavenly Father, that stayed on thee. Bless the speaker this evening, Heavenly Father, that all ears and all hearts, Heavenly Father, may receive, Heavenly Father, and we might take that word and apply it to our lives. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who have lost members in their family, those who are sick and afflicted, those who are going through some trials and tribulations. We pray for them in the name of Jesus. Father, we know that your word does not come back void, Heavenly Father. We pray blessings. We pray healing. We pray all those things, Heavenly Father, the desire of their hearts, Heavenly Father. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Miles, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me, Brother Moderator?
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. You're coming in clear. We're going to move out of the way and let you go ahead and do what God has anointed and appointed you to do.
God bless you. Thank you all. Once again, I greet you in the matchless name of the bridges over troubled water, the bread in the hungry land, Mary's baby, by the name of Jesus. I greet you all today, and I pray that you had an eventful and prosperous and fruitful day. And even if it was not that type of day for you, believe it or not, your struggles, your trials and tribulations, they all have a purpose. If you feel that it doesn't have a purpose, I ask you right now and I pray that you change your perspective on that. Because if you're actually in the body of Christ, and that trial, that tribulation, or that struggle that's in your way right now, when you come out on victory side, you're going to look back and you're going to say that, you know what, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. Because when we look at things in the arm of self and the strong arm of flesh, we can get caught up in that. But if you turn around and look through things of eyes of faith and experience, you have the faith from the experience that God has took you through before, and he'll do it again. I'm asking also that you pray for Gladys Jackson. That's a good friend of my mother from Dinwiddie County, Virginia. When I used to go down there with my family at the time, she used to always bake a pineapple upside down cake, or pineapple cake. And that cake was, oh, my Lord. That cake was saying something. So I was a mother, good friend, and one of her, she don't want to be on life support anymore, and one of her lungs have collapsed. So we believe in God for healing, restoration, and that she may give another testimony of what God can and will do for us. Amen?
Now on
tonight, I'm going to come in a different angle, an angle in which it's going to be more of a Bible study. I pray that you have something to write with and write on, and I pray you have your Bible, because this is something that was dear to my heart when I was a little boy. I'm 11, 12, maybe 13 years old, something I didn't understand. And the Lord had brought to my understanding about this, well, he put in my spirit, I put it to you that way, through scripture of how I have understanding. And I want you, and I challenge you all on tonight, to do like they did in Berea. They received the scriptures with the readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily to see what the things are so. Now, since I am a pastor, I don't want you just to sit back and listen to what I have to say on tonight and receive it as being true. I challenge you to research the scriptures like they did then. Also, another challenge and a charge towards you is when Paul told his son Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and I'm putting this charge towards you tonight. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed. Well, this is the part I want to bring to you. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what we're going to do on tonight. We're going to rightly divide the word of truth. Another scripture I want to put to you is Proverbs. I want you to go to Proverbs 4:7. And as I'm with you, I'm actually turning in my Bible as well. Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But now check this out. In all you're getting, get understanding.
Amen.
So before you can get wisdom, you have to have understanding. Now, on tonight, this is something that I'm actually working on now. This is part of part one of what I was working on. And I always, as I told Brother Moderator, I always have a ram in the bush. Being under Bishop Larry Palmer, who's my pastor, you always have to be ready, because you know not when he will say he will need you. So with such... Mm-hmm. I want to invite your attention to the book of Second Chronicles, Old Testament book of Second Chronicles, if you haven't read the scripture on tonight. And Second Chronicles is to the right of First Chronicles, and it's to the left of the book of Ezra. And we're going to come with verses 1 through 11, as I like to state is, we're not going to read through scripture fast to prove to folks we can read. We're going to read through scripture so that the word of God can minister to our heart and our spirit man. Because it's the word that when it's planted in good ground, then it can reap a harvest. In verse 1, I'm reading from the King James text. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for to Shechem where all Israel come to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, whether he fled from the presence of Solomon the king, heard it, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. And they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all of Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now, therefore, ease somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father and his yoke that put us, that's put upon us, and we serve thee. And he said unto them, come again unto me after 3 days. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, what counsel give me to return answer to this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou be kind to this people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him that stood before him. And he said unto them, what advice give ye that we may return answer to this people, which have spoken to me, saying, ease somewhat the yoke that thy father put upon us. And the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy. But make thou somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. For whereas my father put heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. And I want to reason with your spirit from a question. Is this why Israel split? Is this the real reason why Israel became a divided nation? Is this the real reason why? There are many unions that break up. Husband and wife, girlfriend and boyfriend, churches even split, as here. Church split. You will have First Baptist, Second Baptist, Little Bethel, Greater Bethel, Little East Bethel, but everything split. But I'm asking a question, which is a rhetorical question. Is this the real reason why Israel split? We're going to find out if this is the real reason why. Well, let's go over the text. Rehoboam, who is the son of Solomon, inherited the throne. And it came to him by way of Jeroboam. Now, who is Jeroboam? Jeroboam was a servant of Rehoboam's daddy. So he knew the ins and outs of the kingdom. He was very good in structure. He was very good in organizations, very good in building. So he knew what to do and how to do it because his daddy had gave him charge, meaning the daddy of Solomon. And the daddy of Solomon, which was David. Now, what happened in this situation, they came to him and said, look, we're getting ready to make you king. Lighten the load, and we'll serve you. Many young people will not listen to the seasoned saints. Why? Because they think that they don't know anything, but those are the ones whom actually can help the younger people coming along. But many young people, what they decide to do, is they decide to listen to their peers. Well, many times your peers do not have your best interest at heart, especially if you have some type of position, some type of money, you come from some type of good genealogy, they want what you have. Now, I'm not saying that this is the situation here, but what I am saying is he made a bad decision. And the Bible says he made a foolish decision. Because what happened was, when Jeroboam had heard that come from him, he said, to your tents, O Israel. Just keep reading later on in that chapter. What inheritance do we have with David? And many preachers say, and many people preach, that this is the reason why the kingdom split. I submit to you on tonight, this is not why the kingdom split, but this is the reason given for the kingdom splitting. There was really a base reason why the kingdom split, but this isn't it. And I'm going to show you tonight in Scripture of how it happened. Well, let's go back in some history here. If you notice, Israel wanted to be like the other nations. They wanted to have a king like everyone else. And if you want to understand that, and if you want some scripture behind that, I invite you to go on over to the book of 1 Samuel. And I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 8. You don't have to go to that now because there's much scripture that I want you to read on your own. Like I said, I want you to study, to show yourself approved unto God, rightly divide this word, and then I want you to see if what I'm saying to you on tonight is thus and so. Some scriptures we will read, some scriptures we're just going to go over. The people wanted a king. They went to Samuel. Samuel was against it. God had told them, look, give them what they want. Give them the desire of their heart. And he told them, because they're going to turn against them. That's what's going to happen. Well, the first king that actually came about was the united Israel, was Saul. And Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. Now remember that, he's from the tribe of Benjamin. After he had done some things that God had rejected him, then David got raised up. David from the tribe of Judah. David actually had a son later on by the name of Solomon. Some of you may have heard the name Bathsheba, when David had done some things, and some things came about, which is in Scripture, where Solomon became born. Now, Solomon is the wisest man that ever lived. Now, I want you to put a pin in that. This is the wisest man that ever lived. This is the wisest man that ever lived. I've said that for a reason. Since you are the wisest person, being wise and being obedient is two different things. Since you have knowledge and you have understanding, you have wisdom, that don't mean you're going to use it to be obedient. There are some people who have all of that, and they use all of that for bad. They don't use it for good. They use it for bad. Why? Because that is what they want. So let's go on a little bit further. Let's look at this. You said to me, well, this is not the reason why. Okay. And I'm going to show you in Scripture. Let's take a look at I want you to go with me over to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, the 11th chapter. When you go over to 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, it will tell you about the life of Solomon. I want you to put a pen there, a bookmarker there. I want you to put something there because we're going to come back to that. That's why I had to turn there. But what I really want you to go to right now is I want you to go to 1 Kings, 2nd chapter. When you start at verse 1 and we go down to verse 3, David, which is Solomon's daddy, is getting ready to leave this earth. And what he's getting ready to do at this time is he's giving his son what I like to call some goodbye talk. Well, what is goodbye talk? Whenever you know somebody on their deathbed, they don't have time for no foolishness. They want to tell you some things that is dear to their heart, to either clear their mind, their soul, their spirit, to make right with their God when they leave here. They also want to give you some goodbye talk to help you in a situation that you may be going through or they foresee that you're going to go through in life. So when someone is actually on their deathbed, they're going to tell you some things that are real. So David, the father of Solomon, he tells him, I'm getting ready to leave here, but first thing I want you to do is I want you to show yourself to be a man. I want to show yourself to be a man, and I want you to keep charge of the Lord thy God. In verse 3, walk in his ways, keep his commandments, keep his statutes, his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. So his daddy had already told him what to do as king. How could he tell him that? Because he was already there. And these are things that he had already done. So for Rehoboam to make such a decision of what he decided to do, some would say, well, he knew what to do, but he didn't do that. He wanted to come with the whips and the scorpions, listen to the young people. But I submit to you now, that is not the real reason why the kingdom split. That is the reason that's given. The reason why the kingdom split is because of disobedience. You may say, well, how do you know that it was actually the disobedience? Let's look at this here. If you take a look at verse 3, David charges Solomon what to do and what to keep. What to do, what to keep, and where it was found. It was actually found, excuse me, in the written in the laws of Moses. Well, you may say to me, well, preacher, okay, when you go to the law of Moses in the book, that's a whole lot right there. Can you pinpoint that down for me? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter, in verse, starting at verse 14. When you go from verse 14 to the end of the chapter, which is verse 20, those are the things that the people were to do when they were to pick their king. Remember, the children of Israel were a theocracy. They were under God. They were under God's leadership, but they wanted a king. But it's actually written here in Deuteronomy 17, starting at verse 14, what they are to do to pick a king. And not only that, what the kings were supposed to do when they were king. Remember, I said to you earlier that Saul came out of the tribe of Benjamin. David came out of the tribe of Judah. When you read the scripture, you will see that it says that they have to come out of from one of their own. Was it Benjamin, one of the sons that became a tribe? Wasn't Judah one of the sons that became a tribe? When you submit and you read this, you will see the criteria of what they had to do to pick a king. But when you go down to verses, when you go down to verse 16 and 17, it says what they are not supposed to do. And the very things that the kings were not supposed to do was the very thing that Solomon did. It says in verse 16 and 17 that they are not supposed to multiply their horses to have such a big army. They're supposed to depend on God to protect him. it says that they will not, and they are not supposed to go for much silver and gold. God is supposed to supply for them. It also says here that they are not supposed to have many wives. See, Solomon had already had a wife because he had married Pharaoh's daughter. And I believe you can actually find that in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3 talks about how David, that was David, who actually did the marrying. Was it David? No, it was Solomon. I'm sorry. It was Solomon. Now, Solomon already had a wife. So now let me digress a little bit. When you already decide to take up a wife, you make a decision. And if you take that word decision and you break it down to the Latin, the first part of that word means off. The second part of that word means to cut. So when you make a decision, you cut off all other options. But Solomon chose not to do that. Solomon knew that he was supposed to keep the commandments. And when you go back to Deuteronomy 17, you will see that he was supposed to write them down and keep with them and go over them daily. So it's not that he did not know what to do. He decided that he did not want to do it. And how do we know that he decided that he did not want to do it? Please turn to 1 Kings chapter 11. It tells you in verse 3 that he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. But when you go back over to Deuteronomy 17, you see that was something he should not have done. He also had much gold and silver. One portion of scripture that I've researched earlier before we came up, just in shekels of gold alone that he went after to get, it comes to, at this time, that if we did it mathematically, would be $3.8 billion in gold alone that he went after. So he violated the things that God told him to do. He went on and married other women that God told him not to even touch. So you may say, well, yes, you show me in Deuteronomy 17. You also told us that he did the things, but you said it was disobedience. Where in the scripture does it say that is the reason why God divided the kingdom? You just read, as I find our foundation scripture, preacher, that the people wanted to leave. If we kept reading the chapter, as you said, he talked to his friends, which gave reason for the people to actually split the kingdom. But, I invite your attention to 1 Kings chapter 9. Once again, this is the scripture we're going to read. And the Lord was angry with Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart turned from the Lord God of Israel, which appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him, saying, these things, that thou should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. He got with 700 other women, and when he got old, when you read the earlier part of the scripture, verse 4, his heart turned away. Let's keep reading. Verse 11. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, here we go, for as much as this done thee, and thou hast not kept the covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and give it to thy servant. So what happened was, he had told God, God had told Solomon, since you did not keep my stance and my covenant and my statutes, I'm going to take this and give it to thy servant. Let's rewind back at the beginning of the broadcast. We read about Jeroboam. Who was Jeroboam? Jeroboam was the servant of his daddy. Oh, he was a servant of David. So now we turn around and we look at, wait a minute. It's going to be given to the servant. Remember, Jeroboam was the one that knew standards. He knew how to do different things. He knew how to move on. For him to be with David, he was under Solomon. So he was a servant. He was not of the genealogy. So what God did was he gave it to the servant. That's how we know and we can see that Jeroboam came into place. Now watch this. Verse 12. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it. Notwithstanding, in the days I will not do it for David's sake, but I will rend it out of thy son. God is talking to Solomon. I'm going to take this from you. But for your daddy's sake, I'm not going to split the kingdom now. I'm going to wait until the throne goes over to your son, Rehoboam. Then I'm going to split the kingdom. Read the scripture. The reason why the kingdom split was not because of what Rehoboam did. It's because of what his daddy did. He just happened to be the one in place. But it was used as the reason for people would say, that is why the kingdom split. But the kingdom actually split because of disobedience from his father. At this time, I'm going to open up the mics. I know I put a lot of points. Are there any statements or questions that would like to be put forth at this time?
Well, I have something to add in reference to disobedience. But anyway, disobedience is the wages of disobedience is that's a sin, and the wages of that is death or division. The separation from death can be defined as a separation of man from God. And this is just what just took place. This act of obedience, and there was an opportunity to correct that, but he did inherit it. The sins of the father, as far as the cruelty to the individuals, but he could have maybe lightened their load, but he continued the same pattern, but he inherited that. We inherited our sin. We're all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But anyway, we are all sinners. But we inherited that. But what do we do about it, though?
Well, let me run this question by you, since you mentioned this statement. Just for dialogue. Are we all sinners? If we've accepted Christ, if we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, didn't he save us from sin and death? Aren't we the righteousness of him? Aren't we baptized in his body? Are sinners ones that actually practice sin? Do we as saints, do we actually practice sin? I mean, this is our lifestyle. We do that, or do we come short, repent, and get forgiveness? That's just something to think on. Go ahead, I'm listening.
We would repent, and there had to be we had to constantly self-examine ourselves and not take the approach that I'm perfect, I'm a perfect being, and I'm not sinned. But anyway, it's something that's inherited. We have to be cognitive of that and then repent and turn our backs to the sin. Turn towards the light, which is God, and try to make a difference as far as spreading the gospel to others. How do you treat people? We have to be a leader in that perspective.
Amen. Is there another? Are you finished, brother? I didn't mean to cut across if you was finished. If you wasn't finished.
No. I was going to say that we're all students and we're all teachers. But we have to, and we play various roles as far as being a servant, and we're servants to God. But we have to recognize that we are a servant. Everybody has kind of lust to be supervisors and be in charge. And you're not in a position to, we all want to be teachers and not students, but you have to be both so that you're able to grow and spread, and be in a position to spread the gospel, not turn people away.
Amen. Amen to that. Is there another? The purpose of tonight is for me to bring that. See, there are many times that we as followers would listen to that which has been spoken to us, and we would actually take it to be true. Now, this is something that I had actually had looked upon as a young boy. I think I was about 12 or 13 years old. And I never understood why there was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom if I was always taught that the church was one. And I challenge you on tonight with this message to dig deeper into the scriptures. Because there are some things that you actually want to know that don't set well with your spirit from the standpoint of you want to know more. And I just hope and pray that what I've brought to the table on tonight is something of enlightenment of with Rehoboam. Is that why the kingdom really split? Or is that what we were just told and we took it and we ran with it? Go over the scriptures that I've given you on tonight. When you get off tonight, come back on to Blog Talk Radio. Take your time. Get your study Bible. Get your Amplified Bible. Get your Living Translation. Get all of these things so that you can get wisdom. But before you get the wisdom, get your understanding. Because many of us, as much as we want to know, a lot of people are ashamed to ask the question. They are ashamed to say something in fear of being wrong. Don't worry about being wrong. Worry about getting proper understanding and learning. That which I shared with you on tonight is what the Lord has dropped into my spirit. And I'm actually working on like a 3-4-part series on this, to where we can sit back and read the scriptures, where we can sit back and analyze this. And once I get it done, I do want to put it like in paper form to where I can just put it out there on the net. Not for the standpoint of actually showing right or wrong, but for us to actually dig into scripture. But is that really why Israel split? Because of Rehoboam talking to his young people? Or did it split because of his daddy not being obedient? Because once again, you turn back and you look into the scripture, David was on his deathbed. And he talked to his son. And he told his son what to do. And this is the wisest man that ever lived. So he had proper understanding. He chose to be disobedient. And by him choosing to be disobedient, what happened? His son got the blame for it. But that's the thing that's written. Now, in Scripture, Rehoboam, after it split, he wanted to go to war. And God spoke to him by way of a preacher and said, no, I've done this thing. I've done this thing. God said, no, don't do it. I've done this thing. So let us dig deeper into Scripture. Let us really understand what we're studying. Are there anything else anyone would like to say, like to add?
All the mics are open.
Many times people have a hard time with the Old Testament. And that's okay. But let me try to help you to understand something about the Old Testament, if you will. If you can, even though it's the Word of God, even though it is Spirit, if you could take Israel, God's chosen people, and look at them in the natural eye, there then you could see in the New Testament of what we are to do in the Spirit. When I actually look at it, because I still struggle with it from time to time, prayer, studying, supplication, ask God to do it, I still have some trouble with it. Because I try to look at it in the same light as I will look at is the New Testament church. But when you take God's chosen people and you see what he done and was trying to do to them and through them, you can have a better understanding of that testament to bring over to the new. Are there any other questions, any other statements? Please feel free. There's no bad statement, no stupid statement. If you have a question, please present it. We can always revisit it on this line later. Mics are open. Well, as Brother Moderator would say, if no one is speaking, they're listening. And I do pray and believe that you are actually receiving and eating this up, as he said a couple weeks past, as a good meal, where no one is talking, everyone's just feasting. Mm-hmm. One thing I would like to ask on tonight, Brother Myler, is anything that you would like to add or anything you would like to say? I know you like to listen, but I'd just like to get your take.
Well, I've enjoyed the analysis of Old Testament, which if we don't have a knowledge of the Old Testament, they both connect. If we don't have knowledge of the Old Testament, it's really difficult, to understand. I just believe in expository preaching, and that's basically when you are going into the Old Testament and identifying what's happening in the Old Testament in order to understand the New Testament. So I like when anyone goes into the Old Testament and begin to start to dissect it or show their interpretation toward it. So I'm enjoying it, my brother. I am enjoying it. I do want to make an analysis in terms of the disobedience part, and in terms of generational disobedience. Sometimes, or oftentimes, the Old Testament, when you look as far as with David, because of his disobedience and not following the word of God, it traveled on to his children and even, you know, other generations of follow, even though that we read about them. God does chastise. He chastises us, and sometimes it follows on down into your generations. It you look at their kids and their kids' kids, even with Solomon, you know, there was always something, you know, going on there, and it was because of, again, disobedience. So that's key in terms of when we are as believers making sure that we are obedient. No, we're not going to be 100% obedient, but we are every day trying to be more like Christ wants us. We all fall short. We all sin, and sin can come in many ways. It can come in our thoughts. It can come in our eyes, our ear gate, in many different ways. So we are always sinning, and that's why we're always asking and repenting and asking God to forgive us for our sins, those knowing and unknowingly. So
that's right.
I just wanted to, you know, make a note on that. And also, if anyone really wanted to go deeper into that, there is a scholar, a theologian by the name of Wayne Grudem, and he talks, you know, a lot about what you were referring. So you can go into that and you know, do some research and get information pertaining to that as well.
Amen. Is there another on tonight? You know, on the subject of the disobedience, you can have, and I'm repeating myself on this, you can have the most knowledge, wisdom, and education. But if you choose to use it for bad, it may not come upon you. But as we saw in Scripture, it may come down on your seed. And your seed may make a statement that may warrant something bad, but that just may not be the reason. I remember there was a TV show on that was called Ricky Lee. And one thing she used to say was, there's his side, her side, and the part that's real. And the truth, that's like she would say. But we've been told that it's because of Rehoboam why the kingdom split. I know I'm repeating that. I want you to really go back in the text and look at the ones in which you were given on tonight and search the scriptures daily to see if those things were thus and so. There were also the scriptures about the chariots and his army being built up. I've just ran out of time, so I can't give those to you. But do I have enough time? I'll give you, yes, I do. I'll give you the scriptures, and you can research those as well. You can actually, if you're writing them down, you can also take a look at 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 26 to 28. That's 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 26 to 28. 2 Corinthians, 1st chapter, verse 14. That's 2 Corinthians, 1st chapter, verse 14. And 2 Corinthians, 9th chapter, verse 25, which deals with his disobedience to build up his army. When you read Deuteronomy 17, starting at verse 14, what they need to do to choose a king, what a king was supposed to do. And you'll see that Solomon disobeyed the covenants and the statutes of what he was supposed to do. That's why the kingdom split. Don't believe me. Research it for yourself. God bless you all in the name of Jesus. My time is far spent. I pray that something that was said for me on tonight that challenges you even the more to get into the Word of God, to study yourself approve unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. If they say it's in Scripture, ask them to show it to you. And if they can't show it to you, search the Scriptures daily as they did in Acts 17. God bless. Brother Moderator, it's in your hands.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Miles, we do thank you for that interpretation. Once again, you know, from a theological point of view, how you exegete, you know, the Old Testament. So we do thank you for that with your interpretation. I need to share that I did ask Pastor Miles. He was it was like a last minute in terms of coming on to speak this evening, and he and as he made a comment, you know, that he wasn't ready, but you know, he was prepared. He was prepared, and we know that you were more than prepared. So we do thank you for that coming on and sharing that with us. We come together to gain understanding. We come together to learn as a body of Christ. Amen. The arm functions one way, the leg functions another way. All parts of the body function totally different, but they serve. It all has one purpose. It has one purpose. Amen. And that is governed by the head. And we looking at being the body of Christ, we are governed by Jesus Christ, amen, and his doctrine. So we do thank you once again for that. You know, we're going to end up closing. Again, we ask that you invite us next week. I think we're going to be in North Carolina. Amen. We do invite you back next week. May God bless you. Remember, we love you.
Amen.
Far beyond what I have done, like a dream.